Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just got a wee bit of feedback on the text line. One of our regular listeners saying, it sounds like the same topic frequently, Maggie. And my response to our dear texter, my friend Mark, hello, Mark, was, yeah, if it sounds like we're talking about the same stuff on repeat, it's because it is. It is different versions of the same problem over and over and over again. And let's be clear. I know that I talk about Donald Trump as a unique and especially threatening political actor. But Donald Trump is just the acute current expression of what has been GOP policy since Ronald Reagan. And that is less taxes for the rich, gutting programs that help the middle class, and letting the chips fall where they may. That has been the mainstay of all Republican economic policy since Ronald Reagan. He ran on it and won twice. Now, there have been little softenings of that from time to time from different Republicans, because of course they need to win elections. But the reality is that this has been the playbook. Donald Trump has metastasized it, accelerated it, and brought all of the garbage to the fore. But the reality is, this is Republicanism. Everything else is smokescreen, distraction, and window dressing so that no one in the middle class, working people, and by the way, I'm considering working people, like basically if you're not clearing in a household like less than $500K a year, you're a working stiff. Hate to break it to you. They've got their hand in the middle class's pocket. It has been there since 1980. It ain't going anywhere. They distract people by saying, it's a tax cut. It might look like one, but it's not going to operate like one for regular people. Full stop. Now, our friend Ross from Crawford County asked me, is it possible that the folks that benefit from things like emergency food assistance, Medicare, Medicaid, maybe some of the people that stayed home? And the answer to that question is yes, of course, because participation in these programs is widespread. It's the majority of people in nursing homes. But how easy have Republicans made it for people in nursing homes to vote? I'll give you a hint. They haven't made it any easier. Why do you think Republicans over the last 40 years, 50 years even, have attacked the mechanisms that make it easier for working people to vote if you're working two jobs? Why are we voting on Tuesdays and not Saturdays? Why is it harder for students to vote? Why can't you use your student ID to vote? Why did they fight letting people gather ballots properly witnessed from nursing homes during COVID? Why do you think all of this is? I'm going to take a break and take a breath and welcome one of our good friends to the show, L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom, always great to see you on my caller list. How are you, sir? What you got to say?
Hey, Maggie, I'm great. First, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. And second, we must get money out of politics. One thing I think that needs to be said is there's a lot of people out there, for some reason, that are making $70,000, $80,000 that think they're so rich. And when you take the different indices in Wisconsin of $16,000 for childcare, $16,000 for healthcare, $16,000 for mortgage or rent, and $16,000 for taxes, I think we really need to, like when you were giving all the different stats, we really need to identify dollar amount wise what is considered middle class, because I consider it probably $70,000 to over $100,000, $150,000 maybe, because I think a lot of people out there think that, oh my gosh, I got a little money in my bank. I guess that means I'm rich. No, you're not. If we're cutting Medicaid and Medicare and all that stuff, I always say I am closer to the poorest person and the homeless person on the street making over $100,000 than I am to the billionaire. And I hope everyone really thinks about that and thinks about how close they would be to being on the street and where they are in comparison to that person versus the billionaire. Because you're not even close to the billionaire. Even if you're making $1 million, you're still not close to the billionaire. Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tom. Everything Tom just said times two. Unless you got, I'm going to say, upwards of at least 5 mil plus, if you're talking generational wealth, 30 mil plus, it would take one job loss for a prolonged period of time to potentially bankrupt your family. If you got kids in childcare or private school, or you can't send them to your public, whatever it is, one prolonged job loss. And by that, I mean 6 months or more. That's all it would take. And unless you can look at your personal finances and be like, yeah, I'm fine 6 months or more with your major bread earner and your breadwinner in your family without a job, we're talking about you. Folks, we have two fabulous guests tomorrow because we got to keep digging into this. It might be repetitive, but this is where the action is. The robbery of the middle class, reverse Robin Hood. We've got Michael Negron, former special assistant to the President of the United States for Economic Policy. He's going to join me tomorrow at 5. At 4 o'clock, I got Bobby Kogan, Senior Director of Federal Budget Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, talking about the cuts to emergency food assistance. We're going to keep going here because bringing the information to every single one of you and talking about it together is how we make this better. Oh, yeah, and that voting thing. That's going to do it for me on this Tuesday edition. Go Brewers! I'll be at the game tonight. I hope to see you there. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for the middle class.